Christina, and you're tuning in to Seat for Every Ass. Hey, Christina.
Hey, Barrett.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Why don't we tell our friends, followers, family, stalkers, everybody out there, what are we drinking today?
I am actually just drinking a mimosa, keeping it low for the morning.
So, is it the morning? It's actually the afternoon.
Oh, wait, hold on. You're right.
So I'm not keeping it low. No, my favorite now go-to is gin, a splash of honey, and some lemon juice, and it's delicious.
Is it okay without the ice?
So it's just like shaken. Yeah, because it's chilled. I shook it up, poured it, and made it, and it's delish. I love it. It's just
good.
So light, fresh.
Yeah, good. It looks good.
So today on this episode, we're going to talk about our very favorite thing in life, money.
And not so favorite thing, budget.
Yeah, right. So as we have really evolved in our business and, you know, have created this network of clientele that we feel so blessed to be with, you know, you want to really build that trust. Like, we know we want to build that trust with our clients. And the trust comes down to establishing a really healthy conversation about money. And we learned that really early on in our career that, you know, everyone's on a budget, no matter how high, how low, there's always a number that no one wants to go above. And as designers, that's probably the most difficult thing that we deal with in terms of the creative process is staying within a budget.
That budget and respecting that, like, from our clients. So,
right. Like, I mean, we've definitely been there before where budgets have been extremely tight and somehow, some way we've managed to make it look expensive. And then we've also been in situations where there really hasn't even been a budget, but we're still being realistic with our clients' money and not just spending it because they can spend it.
Right.
So I think, like, as we are talking to our other fellow designers and being honest about our journey and where we are today, let's just be honest about how we work with our clients and how we manage expectations and budgets and have those healthy conversations.
We were always told back in the day, once you don't talk about budget, you're already over.
Yeah.
So that has been a problem in our growing pains. The client doesn't give a budget. We typically always design highs and lows, right? So mm-hmm. with respect, but then there's these special pieces that you and I both agree are necessary, like custom sofas or the light fixtures.
If the client has wiggle room.
Right.
In their budget for those pieces, we always put them in. But as you said before, respectfully, we give them the opportunity to expand their budget if they want, or they don't have to get the custom piece or the super expensive light fixture.
Yeah. So if we truly love pieces and we think it's worth the extra money, we also give an additional option.
Right. Just that's in the budget.
Right. And then when it's not in the budget, we kind of have our own little proposal for those items, which is like that's like our option ones.
Right.
But
I want to tell the people kind of how we do budget, right? So there's some designers out there who are going to budget like per room, per space. We don't really ever work that way. And it's never worked that way for us. And I don't know how we figured it out, but we're always like on it. We're always on a budget and we always get on that number at the end without having to plan per room, per space. I don't like itemizing pieces so much so that, like, for example, this sofa is, let's say it's $40,000 and, you know, it fits in the budget, but then the client sees that it's $40,000. They don't want to pay for it even though they love it and it fits within their budget. Like, I never like to think of the money like that, because if you really value and you really love it and it's in within the budget, then why not do it?
Right.
Now, I understand if it's over the budget, but I think trying to just figure out the big picture, like, what is the big picture number and how do we space that out? Obviously, we know certain rooms, like your primary bedroom, your kitchen, your dining room, your formal living room, your actual family room, like, those are areas to invest and have nice pieces where we're going to spend and probably do custom, but like a dining room alone, like if you have 10 chairs, and let's just say a minimum $1,000 a chair.
Yeah.
You're already at $10,000. Right. It adds up so quickly. So areas where we usually cut back are kids' spaces, guest rooms.
Kids' bedrooms.
Yeah, kids' bedrooms. Yeah. Like other...
Basement, like any...
Unless it's like a crazy basement, right. Like some, you know, people out there right. That we've worked with want like the coolest, craziest basement.
The wine bars and the...
Candy kitchens.
Candy kitchens.
Hookah lounges and fish tanks.
But if there is a place to kind of... It's all about really what matters to the client too, right? Like, so the basement might be... That's their big spend.
Right.
And then other areas, like the primary...
They might not care.
Yeah, they might not care because they're not... We always hear that, you know what? I really don't care about the primary bedroom because I'm not really in it and no one can see it.
Right, which is so funny because if I were the client, I'm total opposite. I spend so much time when I can in my primary bedroom. Like, I was telling my friend yesterday that one of my favorite things to do on my downtime is literally just lay in my bed. Like, I love laying... Not even on my sofa.
Barrett's
I love laying in my bed.
Known for that.
I do, she though. Works, I love laying in my bed.
She works the best in her bed by herself with her computer on her lap, drinking a glass of wine, maybe, possibly, depending on what time of day.
Well, when we're
not.
Designing, having that glass of wine just to relax, unwind. So it really does help to kind of like...
The creative juices come out and it actually does help a lot.
At least, listen, a glass of wine a day keeps the doctor away. Maybe not gin.
I know. I don't know. I'm
we
like,
just, we literally
stuff.
Just, wait, before we started doing this podcast today, we just had an exam done for our business life insurance, which we had to get blood work and
urine
samples, all things. Mind you, we just came back from a 4-day crazy trip to the Bahamas.
It was a bender. Like,
for my husband Chris's 40th birthday. So there was a lot of sugary drinks, especially.
Sugary drinks from 7:30 a.m. until, I would say we were like... We go to bed typically early, like 9 or 10 when...
No, we did go to... I mean, I went to bed early every night.
I did too. I think only one night I was up like until 12:30.
But let's just see how those tests look when the blood work comes back.
The woman, the examiner was like, did you drink a lot of water? And I'm like, I did. Hopefully it helps.
I mean, hopefully. Anyways, back to the Eagles.
Go Birds.
Go Birds. No, so back to budgets. Okay. So I do our preliminary phone calls with every client, potential client that we sign on. And one of the first questions that I have for them is, what's the ideal budget? What are you looking to spend? That gives us a good idea as if, you know, their budget expectations are actually realistic. If they're a good client for us, not because if it's a low or high budget, but we only work on full home projects now. So if someone comes in with a certain budget that we just know we can't, it's not realistic. Why would we take them on as a client? That's just not fair to anyone, right?
Or we also, the client might not know. Like,
right.
We just try to educate them as much as possible. And we get the full scope or somewhat of a scope. And then we tell them, okay, honestly, in all full transparency, we tell them whether or not they're...
It's going to work or not.
It's going to work. Obviously, we've done all the miracles. You know that. But when it's just unrealistic, it's
unrealistic. We're at a place now in our career where... We're not really looking to be magicians anymore, and we just want to do really good quality work. And I think that that's something that we should be really proud about. Like, we're finally at a level where we can say no to projects.
Right.
And we used to say yes to every project. Like, it didn't matter
all
what
it was. 92 a year.
I know, seriously.
That was so crazy.
But we did learn early on that, like, having a very comfortable conversation about money with both decision makers is very important, because obviously you've got a husband and a wife, for an example, as a
couple.
That's
a key, though.
And the wife might want to do something, and the husband may want to do another thing. And when you're only dealing with one of them, but they're dealing with each other, it really doesn't work out well. So always having both decision makers present for those conversations, at least in the beginning, so we establish where we are, we know where we are. And also, like, not for nothing, but who really wants to talk about money? Like, I don't personally like talking about money at all. But when it comes to business, in order for them to know that we're handling their money respectively and, you know, managing the funds according to the size of the project, you have to have those comfortable, awkward conversations.
That's like an oxymoron.
They become comfortable, though.
Yeah. No, they have to, because it's definitely the hardest thing to talk about, but once it's done and over with, it's like now we have like a vision and now we have a goal and now we're going to meet those expectations from our clients.
Right.
And I feel like that's why we have gotten to where we are, because we
clients know that we really do respect their budget, and we will literally work to make that budget work properly, even if it's a very healthy budget.
Right.
And another really good thing and a tip I would give designers out there, when you are doing a presentation, have the amount per item ready. Like, don't present to your client, not have an itemized invoice of what everything's going to cost.
We never present without all those numbers.
Heard stories before where people will present. They don't have any budget up front. And then in the end, the client now is $200 plus over the budget. They loved everything at presentation, but they're not in budget. Yeah, it's
kind of like a bait and switch. That's not cool. And that's
like
not what
when we were just in the Bahamas. Yeah. I heard a whole story about that. Like, they did a whole presentation. She loved everything. Then she finds out that they're literally like double over the budget because at presentation, there was no itemized of anything.
Yeah, that's
again,
crazy.
If you don't have a budget and you really don't care what things cost, which is like, I don't even know who 1%. Out there. Not even 1%.
1% of
US. But I think just as a designer at your presentation, have those numbers ready. And talk about it with your clients.
We will have our numbers ready, but we don't like to stop the presentation for
creative. It doesn't have to be. Yeah. Not like in presentation. I'm just saying, like when you send it over to them,
we typically give,
have the monies ready.
Have the monies ready. But we, after our presentation, we make our notes. We send over the original, if there's like, especially if there's no edits, the original, the presentation with all the monies.
Like who goes to get their hair done, for example, right? Imagine going to get your hair done. Now, I have to get a lot done. I'm blonde and I'm not naturally blonde anymore. So imagine me going to the hair salon. I spend like, 3 hours there getting a bleach and a tone and a cut and a cut and a blowout and a style and this and that and the other. And I have no idea what it's going to cost. And then all of a sudden here I am $1,000 later. And I'm like, oh, I'm not spending that.
Yeah. I didn't know that the extra curl cost
how would that even happen?
No, right? It wouldn't. That's why being in full transparency at any given time is like, I feel like that's what we strive for and that's what we excel in.
Yeah.
And that is why we are very, like, so close with our clients. They trust us, and trust is literally the biggest
thing. Money is trust.
Money is trust.
If someone is holding your money and they're not literally really protecting it, how are you going to trust them?
Right.
Like, they know our designs are amazing. They love our designs, but it's the back end of the business that gets people in trouble. And we've been there before. Like, we kind of started saying, so we've had clients before, again, as we start a project, we're like, what's the total budget? Where are we? We've had clients before where literally they will say to us, we really don't have a budget. And we're like, okay, but we really need a budget. And they're like, well, we don't really have one. We really want you guys to design it, soup to nuts.
Yes.
Design it for us, and then from there, we'll decide what we want to do. And we've done that before, and
we're never doing it again.
In the end, it never works out well, because what happens is we design a gorgeous, amazing presentation that takes a fucking shit ton of work on our team, on us. Everyone's hustling, getting it done, and then we go to presentation.
In record speed. I do have to say it's record speed.
We go to presentation. They absolutely love it, and you think, amazing. They're going to go with everything. And then all of a sudden you get that email and it's like, so we're not going to do this room. 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 We're not going to do this room, this room, this room, this. We're only going to do two of the rooms out of the whole entire house. And mind you, we're a flat fee based firm. And so our markup on goods that are actually bought through us is a huge portion of our margin of what we make on a project. So when we don't make that on a project, honestly, we can't even take those projects anymore because the overhead of our business is high.
Yeah.
So why waste the time to design for a project where we're really only making our flat fee, which the flat fee is a very small portion compared to the grand scheme of what the margin of the product is.
Right. When someone says they want to do a full house, and they don't really have a budget. I mean, at this point now, we just can't work that way. But we did, as Barrett said, and we learned from many our mistakes.
We've done it many times because we're so eager to work with them.
I know. And they're exciting projects. People. And the clients are amazing.
Beautiful homes.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard to say no to a client who comes to you and says, here's my project. You get signed on, and then all of a sudden, oh, I don't have a budget, but we need a budget. Well, I don't really have a budget. Well, we need a budget. Well, I don't really have a budget.
Like I said, we're already...
Never mind. I don't want to spend that much money.
We're already over budget. We're already over budget when there's no budget discussed.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't... Our advice to any interior designer that's, you know, listening to this that doesn't really know, you always get a budget, no matter what.
Well, and... There are designers out there that we've heard that have been vocal about saying, like, oh, we don't talk numbers in the beginning.
Yeah.
We don't do budgets. And that's a lie. Like,
it is.
Our even our wealthiest clients ever have some kind of idea of, like, what they want to spend and what they don't want to spend. And, you know, yes, is there a lot more wiggle room in their budgets? 100%. But, again... When you have a lot of wealth, too, you don't want to feel like people are just taking advantage of you. I think that's a whole other thing with trust. It's not even, like, just respecting the money that they want to spend, but them feeling like you're not taking advantage of them because they're wealthy, right? Like, there's celebrities out there, right? And all of a sudden, a celebrity turns their back and they see someone taking pictures of them, and that's, like, an invasion of their privacy, right? So... It's kind of like a similar thing. It's like, just because we know you have a lot of money to spend doesn't mean that we're just going out there and just throwing it out.
Yeah. No.
Because we want to.
Right.
We're getting our shopping on them.
I know. I mean, it all, like, again, it just comes down to what that client wants to spend. And if they're unrealistic, we educate them. And if it's in the, if it's within their budget of how they want to live their lives in their homes, then they work with us. Like, it's.
So we were just at a preliminary meeting with a potential client a couple days ago, and it was actually great.
Amazing clients.
Amazing. They were so sweet, and they gave us flowers.
I know.
That was like the nicest thing ever.
I know.
Like,
it was on Valentine's Day.
I know. We don't even know them, and they both got us flowers.
I know.
They got us separate flowers.
Yep, and they're still thriving.
Amazing.
Those callas.
But I do have to say that it was great because we had a lot of conversations about money right then and there. And, like, the husband was like, okay, so what do you foresee this portion costing? And, like, I gave a number and he's like, oh, that's exactly what I was thinking. Like, we were so aligned in terms of the budget. It was, like, so nice to be able to know that we're already talking about this. We're already establishing that open communication. Because talking about design is easy, right? Like, it's we're passionate about it. We truly, truly believe in our design. So, like, talking about that is easy, but talking about money can sometimes be uncomfortable. And let's talk about, like, our fees, for example. Like, when we have clients or potential clients who reach out and we give our fee and they...
We give our... Just so you know, we give our fee literally in the first email.
Yeah.
Like, if that doesn't work with you, then we understand and we'll move on.
Mm-hmm.
And so
again, because we're not hiding anything.
Yeah.
We're being upfront. We're being transparent. We explain that we're a flat fee and we have a markup on our goods.
Right.
We are not a, what I call Spirit Airlines, where we're...
You got it right this time.
Where I know. I always say...
Southwest.
Yeah. But we're not Spirit Airlines. Like, we aren't paying for just a ticket and then everything is added from there.
We don't do all the cards.
There's some designers out there where it sounds really, and there's nothing wrong with this. It's just not how we work. I'll say that. But I do feel like it's a little bit deceiving in the sense that it sounds like they have this really low, flat rate, but then all of a sudden you keep adding the rooms.
You're adding those bags.
You're adding the bags for your plane ticket.
You want to sit in the front row.
And now all of a sudden you're at first class tickets.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So we're just honest at the front saying, here's our flat fee. This flat fee. I know. I can't. This flat fee.
You're like your goats.
Wait, speaking of, it's Soul's birthday today.
I know. Sorry. We're like totally like reminiscing back here. But
reminiscing. No. So our flat fee stays the same no matter what. It's not going to change. And it is what it is. And then we have our percentage. And we're just honest about it from the beginning. And most of the time, clients understand, but every once in a while, a client will come by and say, well, I talked to another designer, their flat fee is a lot lower, but their percentage may be higher. And I'm like, well, in the end, they're actually going to be higher than us because actually the percentage
is
where the money is made. Yeah. So if even if it's 5% higher than ours, if they're spending a certain amount of money, that 5% adds up to be a lot more than maybe the $10,000 difference that we have in our fee.
Right.
But with that said, I think it's important that people as designers, you understand your worth and your value. But then again, every client, every situation is so different. So having those conversations about money, about your fees, you know, if it's a brand new client that comes to you and you've never worked with them before, like, why are you negotiating with a fee?
Right. Well, that's when we don't negotiate with
a fee. But why would you?
Right.
But if it's someone who comes to you all the time,
yeah,
and, or it's a reoccurring client. Of course you're going to have a conversation because you've already done one project with them. They've already referred you to everybody. And you're ultimately going to do many more projects with them.
Their next project in the future. So
just to end that conversation, just have open conversations about money. But I do want to just talk about one other thing, mixing highs and lows.
We love. I do love. I actually love it because I think it.
Me too. It's like our
fully
fashion.
It is like our fashion. Like, it fully creates a story in unexpected ways. Like, you can't have, like, an all, like, Forever 21 outfit and then, like, a bag from Zara.
No.
Right? You have to have the shoes, the accessory, the bag. You can do the jewelry, costume jewelry.
Okay, so I'll take my outfit right now, for example. So, this necklace. Oddly enough,
I was just telling Vera, I'm like,
it's from TJ Maxx.
TJ Maxx does not carry stuff like this. No, that's why I'm like, how did it like, land amazing. In their hands?
And the dress is Zara, but the belt is Pony Hair from St. John. Jewelry, I have all Jamie Wolf, which is a very expensive, high luxury brand.
And Cartier.
And Chanel. So, like, that's where the mix is, right? But we do that a lot. Like, we'll mix all custom pieces.
That's our base. Yeah.
And then put like CB2. We love CB2.
The lighting is the most important.
Well, it's the jewelry of the home.
It is the jewelry of the home. And it's
like
the
you
thing.
Can't look at Christina. She's got her beautiful earrings on. You can't go into a foyer and not have like it's gorgeous sconces or gorgeous chandelier. Like, you can't walk out of the house wearing a dress and forget the jewelry, whether it's the necklace, the earrings, the bracelet. There always has to be like an end piece, right?
There always has to be like a little bit of that bling. Whether or not bling or shine.
Shine.
Something that distracts from the other elements. And usually that other elements are kind of not muted, but like it just doesn't have that reflection.
I also think mixing highs and lows makes us very relatable as designers.
So everyone has kids, everyone has pets, everyone has
there's a seat for every ass.
There is a seat for every ass. But yeah, I feel like, and not to harp on our own tune,
why not be relatable high-end designers?
Especially with disposable things, right? Like accent pillows or a coffee table that might be used very frequent.
Sometimes even dining chairs. Dining chairs, we go the lowest. We'll go to CB2, get a $400, $500 chair, but then spend $50,000 to $70,000 on the dining table.
The table. And the light is like quick 30. So, yeah.
At least. So, I think as a whole, to designers and followers out there, have those healthy conversations about money and budgets and expectations, because setting expectations from day one is number one. And also, being relatable. You don't, just because you're a high-end designer doesn't mean that you have to do every single piece one-of-a-kind or high-end. Let those clients feel like they're able to live in those one-of-a-kind pieces, but also have disposable pieces, like you said.
Right.
And make it look like every piece is number one.
It's meaningful. Like
100%.
Like, you walk into a room.
And just because it's from CB2 doesn't mean it's not meaningful.
Right. So, yeah, definitely. Well said.
All right. So we just spoke about how we love mixing highs and lows. I think something that would be great to tell other designers are the favorite companies that we work with that we consider more conservative pricing, right?
Yeah. I mean, obviously there's a CB2 that we talked about.
We love CBTO. And the reason why we love CBTO, and we talked about this the other day,
keeps changing.
It does. It changes all the time. They have different designers that come in and design pieces. And it's not the same catalog every single time where you just see, I mean, they do have some pieces in there that they've had forever, like our chairs that we have in the conference room. Right. But those are like classic. Staples. They're classic.
Stools and stuff. We want them to give us more stools because stools are very hard for
especially ones that are conservatively priced. Yeah. Like, it's easy to find expensive stools.
Yeah.
But not on a lower budget.
And a lot of people don't want to spend money on stools because why? You're eating at the counter. There's kids. So it's
always
like,
kids.
It's one of those disposable things unless you're, you know, you're not, you don't have any kids anymore.
Right. No, I think CB2 is such a great brand to use for conservative pricing. Also,
and accessories too.
It's so fun. It's fun. It's playful. It has classic pieces, but it has really innovative pieces as well. We love our interiors. They have even outdoor stuff. Like, they have great outdoor pieces.
They have amazing outdoor. And they're also kind of checking in, like, what not trends are, but like basing their designs off classic.
They're always coming up with new.
Yeah, they're always coming up with
new. And I love all their like integrated, the lighting that has all the leather like ropes and straps. And I mean, that's like, especially for the price points that those are, it's like gorgeous.
Because all the workmanship is crazy. Like, you think about this and it's all about, realistically, it's all about volume.
Right.
And that's why they have these, you know, amazing conservative prices. It's because the volume that they're taking in. We could never.
So speaking of volume, another one would be Made Goods, Global Views,
Bernhardt,
Forehands. These are all to the trade, you guys. So, and take your notes, because if you're a designer, you should have these trade accounts already set up, especially if you want to mix highs and lows, or if you're just looking for those kind of aesthetics. Like, these are perfect for you. HBL. HBL is great. They have awesome lighting. And again, they're collaborating with designers, coming out with really great things. Companies.
Also, a lot of these companies, just for first-time designers are getting into the business, they will give you like a year without having to buy in.
Right. So they remember when we first went to High Point, we were like, oh my God, how are we going to get our trade accounts with these companies? We thought we had to like legit buy in, like spend all this money. And it's not like that.
No, it's not.
Because you just have to spend a certain amount within the year to get to the different tiers.
For the next year. So the first year you have what you have. Obviously, we all know the timeline for furniture to come in and respectively out of, you know, the timeline of the projects.
Right.
So you get that year, and then once you hit that mark, the reps will come back to you and say, you haven't actually hit that mark, or this is what you need to actually continue.
It feels like a little bit of a game too. Like, don't you want to like hit the mark and like hit it better than like what they're saying? And then when they come to you and they're like, you didn't hit the mark, you're like, what? Does that mean I'm not doing enough like business at work? Like,
I know. Well, but then again, It's
I know.
With where our business is right now, it's like we're not actually purchasing so much
from these. No, we used to purchase like mainly from these companies. Now we're sprinkling them into different projects.
But just so you know,
we have go-to anymore.
Like an insane discount. Like, you can't get better discounts.
No. We're grandfathered into these discounts.
We are.
And that's why
clients have to know that, you know, they're getting our cost plus our commission, and then so that's, they're saving way below any MSRP.
But also with our commission, that is to cover our project management.
Right.
Again, like, that's a huge portion of the job. We're not charging extra for that. We're putting a commission on the product sold through us because we're managing it. We're project managing it. But again, talking about labels and brands, those are to the trade, but some to the not trade, because we don't get trade discounts with them. Soho Home, Eternity Modern.
We buy from like Lulu in Georgia. I feel they have a lot
in
of
our
like
house.
Rugs and
an interior cool icons.
Tables. They have like, and actually they have a lot of cool beds and stools.
They do. And for like kid stuff.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of the times when we go to like these more conservative price spots, we love for kids spaces. Like Bellart Studio for the wallpaper is like awesome. Like, obviously, Philip Jeffries has incredible vinyls that are really well priced.
I feel like our wallpaper line is really well priced too. Like,
it is for murals and for true, like, it's actually done by like a true artist. It's bespoke.
So yeah. It's like what you get, like what you get for what you're paying for with the wallpaper line is like, it's like not really.
So guys, about. Just so you know, go on to our Instagram. There is a little story on there that's pinned at the top. You can shop our entire collection of wallpaper. It's called Flight. It's in a collaboration with Moth Paper. It's sick. Like, no doubt, it's sick. It's all murals. You can't get anything like it. Fully custom designed by Christina and I. We put so much thought, effort, like love, sweat, tears with Moth into these papers. So check it out. Buy it. Use it.
Buy it.
Use it. Like, it's amazing.
It's also amazing with, like, letting you know exactly how much you need, too. Like, you don't, that's like a two for one. Like,
and
you don't get
if you,
that
you
service.
Also, like, not to knock art, but you could just have the wallpaper, like, as your art for the room.
Yeah, like Knox's room. Yeah. It's completely, right, that's there's all not art. Even any piece of art. It's all graffiti-based custom through our girl, Kate, and me. It took us 3 months to design. And guess what? He's not putting a TV or art on that wallpaper.
No.
But it's vinyl. So it's like kid-proof, husband-proof, easy cleanable.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It is. So shop it. In our next episode, we're going to get candid on our business relationship, our partnership. Running our business, having a team, which is not easy, and also balancing our life, balancing kids, farm, husbands, our expectations about what the heck we want in life. So stay tuned for that next episode because you're not going to want to miss it. You're going to get to know a little bit more about just you and I.
The nitty gritty.
And then ever so nice bosses that we are.
I know. I mean, really are, actually.
And moms. Sit down.
What? What are you doing over there, guy?
All right. Subscribe, like, follow, share to all your friends. Seat for every ass. Keep it coming.